Good morning, good chaydish everyone. First day is chaydish Adar Beis, Sunday morning. So we continue, we left off, we're in the first chapter of Metzia, Shnei Mechzim. We're in Mishnah 11a on the top. We dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those in the front line. All the hostages return home safely, all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. Little Nishmas, Rebdav Nachman, Rebdav Moshe, for Shleim, for Pedro Vesemiri. Zok the Elikim Mishnah. If the owner of the field sees that people are chasing after a lame deer, trying to capture it, ownerless, trying to capture it, or they're chasing after achar gizolish leparuchu, pigeons who can't fly yet. And the owner of the field says, Zachsali Sadi, my field should acquire it for me. Zachsali, it's his. He acquires it. And they can no longer, even if they reach it, they grab it, they can't take it. It's already claimed. The pigeon and the deer is already claimed. But if the deer is not lame, is running regularly. Or the pigeons could fly, and the owner of the field says, it's meaningless. Because if he himself can run and grab it, because the deer can't go anywhere, is lame, or the pigeon can't really fly. So just saying, my field will acquire it, his field acquires it for him. He doesn't have to touch it, doesn't have to lift it up, doesn't have to do anything. But if he can't reach it, it's unreachable, even for him. Even if he'll chase after it, the deer is quicker than him, and the pigeon will just fly away. So therefore, even if he's in the field, he says, my field should acquire it for me, it doesn't mean anything. So whoever grabs it first, it's theirs. That's the mission. Dr. Gimar, when does this work? When could his field acquire it for him? Only if he's standing next to his field. He's not standing next to his field, it's not effective. The field is not acquired. You might ask why. It says clearly that even if a person doesn't know, something falls into his lap, falls into his field, his domain, it automatically is acquired to him. So why does he have to stand next to his field? The field's automatically acquired to him. But the French, when did Rabbi Yezer Ruchanina say that a person's chatzir, his courtyard, his domain acquires it for him even without his knowledge? If it's watched, it's protected, like walled in, it's fenced in. But a courtyard that's not fenced in, then it's only effective if he's standing next to the field. Even if it's a wide open field, if he's standing there, physically there, and he says, my field, my property should acquire it, then it does. The Gemara says, in no time, where do you know this to make this distinction? Who taught you this distinction? That if it's not a guarded, closed, protected property, then only if you're standing next to it does that property could acquire it for you, if not, not. Because the Tanya will learn the price. Maybe if the owner is standing in the, he's in the city, and he says, I know that this bunch of stalks, wheat stalks, or whatever it is, she actually besada, it's in my field. My workers forgot about it. So shikra, if you forget to harvest, these stalks, it becomes belongs now to the poor people. You have to give it to the poor people. But the owner says, my workers forgot, but I didn't forget. Shaku, I'm saying, lo yeshik, it's not shik. Because I'm remembering it now. So even if later on I am going to forget, if the owner will forget it, I'm saying now, I'm calling it out now, that I remember. So therefore, it can no longer be classified under shikha. Even if later on he'll forget about it, he's claiming it, and therefore you don't give it to the poor. It belongs to him. So yachal lo yeshik. I would think that it wouldn't be shikha. Talmud Lamed says in the pasuk that it is shikha. We learn from the pasuk that in a case, let's say if later on, now that he remembers it, and it's not forgotten, but later on he forgets it, then it becomes shikha, and he has to give it away to the poor. Where do we know this, Rav? Because it says in the pasuk, "Shachachta oimer basada," that if you forgot the oimer in the field, basada v'shachachta v'lo be'ir. If you forget in the field, and not in the city. In other words, the whole shikha only happens in the field. So the workers, that's a simple reading, the workers forgot it. His remembering or his forgetting doesn't matter, doesn't make any difference. But the Gemara explains, no, that's not what he means. That's the braises. Gemara asks, Hagufakasha, let's understand this braises. He starts out by saying, Amriti says, Yachel, lo yeshu. You would think that it's not a shikha, that is forgetfulness. It's not effective. I'm going to bring you a proof that when the owner forgets, it does become shikha. When the owner remembers, it's not shikha. But when the owner will later on forget, then this wheat, the stalks will become shikha. That's what he's trying to prove in the pasuk. You would think it shouldn't be shikha. Shikha would not apply in such a case because the owner remembers, even if he later on he forgot. It's too late. It doesn't matter since he remembers. He says, no, it is shikha. But later on, if he forgets, it will become shikha. And then he brings a pasuk. I'm laughing. He's bringing a pasuk that the owner's forgetfulness should not work. The fact that he forgets later on, since he forgot while he's in the city, it's not shikha. You have to forget. So what does it mean? El alav, surely not. This is what he means. This is what the braises mean. In the field, if you remember, if you forgot in the first place, the owner never remembered, he forgot, he overlooked it. Then it's shik. But what if Zachar al Bashaif Shachuach? What if the owner did not overlook it? Maybe the workers overlook it, but the owner remembered, it's in his mind. Even if later on he did forget, ain't shik. Why not? My timer. Because kivan the koi gabo, since the owner is present in the field, that's what it means. Basad shachuach. If the owner is in the field, if since the owner is standing in the field, and he remembered, he did not forget, he didn't overlook this, these stalks. So to kivan the koi gabo, so it's his field, and his field acquires it to him. Now it's his. So even if he forgets it, it doesn't matter. It's too late. He already acquired it. It's only if he forgets it. If he's standing in the field, if the owner is standing in the field, then only if he forgets it initially. Then, now it belongs to the poor people. But if he didn't forget it initially, even if the workers forgot, but if he didn't forget it, he was aware of the stocks. So his field acquires it to him. Once his field acquires him, it's too late. Even if later on he forgets, there's no more shikha. It's done. It's already acquired. It's his own. It doesn't belong to the poor people. If he's not aware, his workers represent him. In a case where he's standing there and he sees his workers overlook and he's watching and he's about to tell them, go back and take it, at that moment, his field acquires it for himself. And even if he forgets, a minute later, it's not shikha.
And is there a time period?
Why? My time of why? Kivan the koi gabo, he's standing there, havalei chatzedei, so his courtyard requires it. I will be it. But if this same scenario happens while he's in town, he's not in the field, even if he remembers, it was never forgotten. He knows that my own workers overlooked it and forgot it, but he knows and he never forgot it. So therefore, at that moment, it's not shikha, right? But then he forgets. Have a shik. My time of why? Because the lesser gabe, the liskele. It doesn't help him that he remembers. He's not standing next to the field. Since the field is an open field, it's not watched, it's not guarded. And he's not standing next to it. So therefore, his being aware of it, he doesn't acquire it. Just remembering it, he doesn't acquire it. And so it doesn't help. So as long as he remembers it is one thing. But then when he forgets, then it belongs to the poor people. He never acquired it. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do we know that that's the correct interpretation of the Braisa? Dilma Gzeres HaKosovu. Maybe it's a decree in the Torah, the Besada never shikra, Bil never shikra. Maybe the Torah is telling us that it's a decree that if you're in the field, it's shikra. But in the city, if you reminded yourself if you forgot, and you remind yourself while you're in the field, it's shikra. In the city, it's not shikra. Amend the braisa. Maybe the braisa is saying, you would think that it is shikra, because eventually you forgot. So we say, there's no shikra. Shikra could only happen while you're in the field. If you're in the field, then if the owner or the workers forget, it becomes shikra. But once you leave the field, if you're not in the field, then there's no shikra anymore. You can't forget. It's only while it happens while you're in the field. So maybe it's a gzeiras hakasa. The Torah is saying that shikra only happens in the field.
Right, because the field could acquire it, right? Prevent it from becoming shikra.
Right, even if he's not there, right? Maybe even if he's not there, he's not present, the field automatically acquires it for you. No, it doesn't matter. If you're present, it doesn't matter. The Torah says you give shikra. Even if you're present, it doesn't help. If you forget, you forget. But there's no shikra, there's no forgetfulness. The Torah is telling us, there is a kotzer, nothing to do with field acquisition. The Torah is saying that if you're in the field and you forget, it becomes shikra. If you're out of the field and you forget, it doesn't matter. It's not shikra, it belongs to you. So I'm a Gemara Kara. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, that loy toshav lekachta. It says clearly in the Pasuk, don't return to take the stalk that you forgot, meaning you're in the town. And even if you already left the field, you're not in the field, you're in town, and then you remembered, oh, I forgot, let me go back and take it and harvest it. It says, don't go back. So you can't say the Brais is saying there's no shikra. You have to be in the field, and only then if you forget is it considered shikra. But if you forget while you already left the field, it doesn't matter. No. So clearly that doesn't mean. So Gemara asks, wait a second, hi me boiler, but this pasuk that you're not allowed to return, I need to teach me boile lulav. To teach me that if you violate the mitzvah of shikra, you violate a prohibition. In other words, you were in the field, and you forgot while you were in the field. Later on, you left, and now you want to go take it. So they're saying it's a prohibition. You're not allowed to take it. It's not just a mitzvah. You have to leave shikra. There's also a prohibition. You're not allowed to harvest the shikra. If that's the case, name a krav, the pasuk should say, lo yisdika chenu, don't take it. Why say le toshuv? My le toshuv, don't return. He should have just said, yeah, I need the loy to make it a prohibition. Don't harvest it. Once it's shikra, it's determined as shikra. I can't touch it. It belongs to the poor. I can't take it for myself. So say, loy, don't take it. Say, loy tikachenu, don't take it. Why does he say, don't return? Why is he giving us a scenario? You left the field already and you want to return to claim it or to harvest it. So that comes to teach me that shikra applies. It doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to be in the field, outside the field. If you forget, it's shikra. The rabbi shikra is shikra seir. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, I still need this pasuk to teach me something else. Like the Mishnah says in Peah, if you forgot, you didn't to go, what's ahead of you is not shikra. Let's say, you were harvesting and then you stopped. I didn't go all the way to the end. What's ahead of you is not shikra. You're taking a break. Doesn't mean you forgot. What's behind you? The Torah says, don't go back. Meaning, I'm harvesting, right? And then I leave over a stalk and I continue to harvest. The Torah says, don't go back to harvest the stalk that you left. So it's the going back. That's what makes the prohibition. But we're talking about in the field itself. Shalafana vein shikra, lachlev yeshikra. Because she be Yisra, bal toshuv, don't go back. Zeh haklal, kol shuv baltoshuv. whatever, if you violate, don't go back, means you have to go back in order to take it, and then shikra, is shikra. Because ain't about tashav, if you don't have to go back, you just have to continue, ain't a shikra. Shikra doesn't apply. I didn't forget, I just stopped. Shira Vashi says, you don't learn the pasuk that there's no... The forgetting in the city, we don't learn from this pasuk. This pasuk I need for the field itself. But Amak Rod says in the pasuk, yeah, it says in the pasuk, when you'll harvest your field, and you forget the oimer, you forget this bundle in the field, don't return. Don't return. So take it, leave it for the convert, for the orphan, for the widow. Yeah, it should be. So what does year should have said? Don't return it. It should be like early yatsan l'amad. Year should be le rabbi shikas ear. It's coming to add that even if you forgot it while you're in the city, you have the law of shikra. So we know that there could be shikra even if you're outside of the field. So what does it mean? So what does it mean? There is no. What does the braisa mean? So you have to say the braisa means that you don't have in the city. If you remember and then you forget, that's why. If you remember and then you forget, then it is shikra. If you don't remember in the first place, you didn't remember, then there is shikra, even if you're outside of the field, if you're in town, the city. But if you remembered, if you're in the field, then if you remember and then you forget, it's not shikra. But if you're in town, even if you remember and then you forget, it's also shikra. It's always shikra, because since you're not standing next to your field, you don't acquire it. Learn the braisa means that there's no shikra in town. No, clearly there is. So you have to learn the braisa, and that's the proof that if you're not standing next to the field is not acquired for you. That's why it doesn't help it in the while you're in town, you remember. As long as you forgot later, it's a shik. Only if you're standing in the field, and the moment you remember and you're aware, the field acquires it for you. The mother says, just like Rabbi Yehuda, Ula says the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda said. That if you're standing next to the field, you acquire it. If not, not. When if the owner sees the deer running, the lame deer, and if the owner sees the pigeons that can't fly yet, hopping about, and if he says it, I should acquire it. If he's standing there, it's good. If not, not. Everyone agrees. All these rabbis agree. Ula, and that's how they understood it. Rabbi Bar Chana. They all agreed with Rabbi Huda Mishmol. Rabbi Abba asked Ula. We learned in the Mishnah and tracked it. Maisa Sheini, Maisa Bram Gamliel Skeinim. The episode that happens with Rabbi Gamliel and the elders, including Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Boyim Besvina, they were traveling by boat. And Rabbi Gamliel remembered that he has fruits at home. He left fruits at home that he didn't tithe. Worried that his household will assume, surely he tithed it. He's not going to leave something that's not kosher. In Israel, you need a kashrus for fruits and vegetables. Make sure all the tithing was done properly, everything was done properly. So the family will assume, someone like Rabbi Gamliel, surely he left his fruits. And surely he took care of our business. And the truth is he didn't. So what did he do? So Amram Gamliel. Gamliel says, "Isur shani asad lam, the 10% that I will give to the Levi, because you have to give 10% to the Levi. You have to measure. It has to be precise. 10% nasan li Yeshua. I'm giving it to Yeshua ben Hananya, who was a Levi. Who was with him, part of the entourage. So even though he didn't do anything physically, he's saying the 10% that I will, when I get the chance, when I come home." That 10% I'm giving now, I'm already giving now to Yeshua ben Hananiah. The truma he already gave. What he forgot to do was, he forgot to give the Ma'is edition. So the Ma'is edition, give him. Then we continue on side B, 11B. And the place where the fruits are, I'm renting it to Rav Shua ben Hananiah. So therefore, now it becomes his domain. It's his courtyard. So his courtyard acquires it for him. He said, "Acher." And the next 10% that I have to give, Shani Osed Lomu Maiserani. That I have to give to the poor people. That year was a year of Maiserani, the first and second and the fourth and fifth year of the sabbatical cycle. Nothing like Akiva Ben Yosef, giving to Akiva Ben Yosef. Not because Akiva himself was poor. Akiva was very rich. But he was the Gabba, he was the treasury for all the poor people. So I'm giving it to him to distribute to the poor. Here's Yisakir B'Lanayim. And the place where the Maiserani is sitting, where all these fruits are, these 10%, I'm renting to him. So therefore, now it's his, this domain is his, and it acquires these fruits to him. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So the question is, according to you, Ula, and Rabbi Brachon, and Rabbi Ulam Shmuel, you say that in order for your courtyard or for your property to acquire it for you, you have to be standing next to it. They were in a boat. What does it help? What does it help Rabbi Gamliel that he acquired the place to Rabbi Akiva or to Yeshua? What does it help? Even if he rents it to them, and then now it's theirs, but they cannot acquire what's contained in it because he's not standing next to it; they were far away. So I'm amazed. Look at the rabbi. From your question, this is Rabbi Abba, I'm sorry to say, it's as if you never studied anything in your life. You're asking such a foolish question. This is a question. It's very simple. He didn't explain why, but he like totally dismissed the question. He didn't even take it seriously. He started and saw, he said, what kind of, you ever learned anything in your life? It's very simple. What's the simple? Because if there's another mind present here, I am giving it to him. If I am giving it to him, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be standing next to the field. Our mission is talking about a case where there's a lost, but it's ownerless. There's an ownerless deer, lame deer, that's running through your field, and people are chasing after trying to acquire it, to possess it, take possession of it. There is a pigeon, can't fly it, a young little pigeon who's running through the field. And people are chasing after its ownerless, or chasing after the other. Then we say, in order for your field to acquire it for you, this ownerless item, the owner has to be standing next to the field. If he says, my field shall acquire it, then it is acquired. If he's not standing next to the field, not, because it's an open field, it's not protected. Anyone can. But here, I'm renting it to him. It's my field, I'm giving it to him. I don't have to stand next to it. Even if he's not standing next to it, in this case, now that I'm renting it to him, and now it belongs to Rabbi Akiva, it belongs to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, it belongs to Rabbi Akiva, now it could acquire it for them, even if they're on the boat. It doesn't matter. So he didn't even bother to spell it out. He said, it's so simple. What are you asking a question? You can't figure it out yourself. It's not a question. He also was Surah. Rabbi came to Surah. Humble. Rabbi said to the rabbis, this is what Ula said. This was my question. So one of the rabbis said to Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Gamliel, his answer was that Rabbi Gamliel acquired to them these fruits by them acquiring the land, by renting and like owning, temporarily owning the land. I'm renting out this property to him, my property to him. So the same acquisition that with which you acquire the property, we have a kinyanaga. While I'm acquiring the property, I can acquire movable items that are anywhere, especially if they're on the property. So therefore, that's why he didn't have to be present, because of the acquisition of the land, because he rented out the land to them and they acquired the land, so like a temporary owner of the land. So with that acquisition, they acquired the fruits. Not because because the fruits are sitting in your property. Sitting in your property would not help because you're not present. You have to be present. Ul is correct. Dabrachan is correct. They're not present. They're on the boat. But here, it's not because it's in my domain, and therefore I acquired it. I acquired it the same way I acquired the land. Just like the rental became effective, they made a kinyan to acquire the rental. So with that acquisition, I also acquired the fruit. Rab Zeida Kibler, Rab Zeida liked this answer of this rabbi. Rab Abba didn't accept this answer. Amar Rab Abba said, "Shop it of it." Rab Abba is correct for not accepting the answer. Le Kibler. Why? In other words, why did they have to go to the trouble? Why did the Rabbi Gamliel have to go to the trouble of renting the land, the property where these fruits, these tithes are sitting on, to rent it out to them? And they have to pay money to rent it, right? How do you rent it? You have to pay some money to acquire the property. And by acquiring the property, also acquiring these fruits, you could have done something simple. It wouldn't cost you a dime. It's called kinyan chalipin. They take out a handkerchief. They could have given Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Kiva could have given Rabbi Gamliel the handkerchief. You take the handkerchief. With this, you're giving me, it's a barter. I'm giving you a handkerchief, and in exchange, you're giving me all these fruits. It's done. Shalom Yisrael. Simple. Doesn't cost anyone a dime. You don't have to go. It's not complicated. Ella, why didn't they do that? Surely they had a handkerchief on them. I mean, why didn't they do this? Because Tevas Hano, the problem is it doesn't belong to Rabbi Gamliel. Tevas Hano ain't a mammon. All Rabbi Gamliel has is, it's his choice who to give it to. I can choose which poor person to give it to, that's all. I can choose which Levi to give it to. It's not mine. The only control I exercise for some money to be considered yours, you have to be able to do whatever you want with the money. I can't do it with my want of money. It's designated, I must give it to the poor, or I must give it to the Levi. The only control I have, I can exercise, is I can choose which Levi I like or which poor person I give for. That's not called money. So it's not his. So therefore, he can't barter. I can barter. I can give you something that belongs to me. You give me the handkerchief and I'll give you something in exchange. I can sell you the Empire State Building in exchange for the handkerchief. It's mine, if it's mine. But these tithes are not his. In a moment, likness met, bachalif. So Vachinami say here too, Tevis Anoin, what does it help? You can't do Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav doesn't help. That because he's purchasing the same way he's purchasing the property, the real estate, the property, he's renting the property. With that, at that moment he's also acquiring the fruits. It's not Rabbi Gamliel's to sell. So he can't make a kinyan. It's my property I can rent to you. It's my property. But so therefore, the only way, that was Rav Abba's question, the only way that they acquired the tithe is once it becomes their property, anything sitting on their property becomes theirs. And that was his question, but they're not standing next to it. So Rav Abba's question, good question. But the Gemara dismisses Rav's dismissal of this rabbi's answer. Lohi, it's not correct. Really, I can tell you that Tevis Hano is money. That the fact that I control, I can give it to whoever I want, that means it is considered it's mine. So then why didn't they do a simple solution? Make an exchange, a barter. Give me a handkerchief and all that my tithing is yours. You know why he didn't do that? Because Matnas Kun and the Sinek Sivu, the Torah says you have to give it. It says Nesati, the Torah says, when you make the confession, the third year, you make the confession that you took care of all your taxes, so you say, Nesati, I gave it to the Levi, I gave it to the poor. So the Torah says, you have to give. Barter doesn't help. That's not called giving. Giving a handkerchief, and in exchange, it's yours, all the bais is yours, I didn't give it to him. Khalif in Derech Mekach HaMemker. It's selling. It's a sale. It's not giving. The sinner means you have to give him a gift. It's a matana. You have to give him a gift. It's not a sale. Barter is a sale. The thousand, I got Makarka in the Sinali too, but giving by renting the space and now acquiring the space temporarily, and the same way acquiring the fruits, that is giving. It's a strong giving. So that's why even though they weren't present, they were on the boat, they weren't standing next to the field, they didn't acquire it because once it became theirs, therefore anything it's on automatically is theirs. No, because the same way that they gave him money and he acquired and they acquired the property, so not only did he rent them the, now he's giving them the tithing. Allowed to give the tithing and that way. If the Levi will rent the property from me, and therefore I'm also giving you not only the property, I'm giving you everything that's on the property. I'm giving you the tithing and it's yours. So that's giving you. That's a good giving. So therefore it doesn't matter that he's not standing there. There's nothing to do. It's not the property is automatically acquiring it. I'm giving it to you. Rapapa gives a different answer. That's why Ullah didn't even bother to respond. It was so simple to him. He insulted the rabbi. He says, Rabbi Abba, what kind of, are you a Talmud Chacham? You a Torah scholar? To me, it appears you never studied anything in your life. You never learned anything. You even asking the question. You can't figure it out. It's so simple, obvious, the difference in the here and there. Over there, Das Acheres Magnus Shiny, Rabbi Gamliel is acquiring it to them. So it doesn't matter if they're standing there or not. But in our case, where it's an ownerless object, unless the owner is standing next to it, if the field is not guarded, not enclosed, not protected, then if the owner is not physically standing next to the field, it doesn't help that he says, then the field is not acquired. Pepper says, where do I get this from? How do I know this? That there's a distinction between something that's ownerless and if there's another mind here involved. It's not. We learn now Mishnah. The Mishnah gives an example of an ownerless object. They were chasing after a lost object. Achamitzia. It was a lost object. It belonged to no one.
And therefore,
that's when
it's
Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Yechon. Oh, one
second.
Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Yechon said that when do we say that his field acquires him, only if he was able to chase after it, he would reach it. The deer is running so slow that if he chased after it, he was able to reach it before it left his field. Or the pigeon is so small, it can't fly, it's hopping along, that if he chased after it, he would be able to catch it before it left his field. But even if he chased after it, he couldn't reach it, he couldn't catch up with it, it would leave his field before he catched up with it, leave his property, and also with the pigeon, then he would not acquire it. Well, boy, Rabbi Yirmiya asked, but matana, what if a person gives a gift? I'm gifting you a deer. I'm giving you a gift, a pigeon. Hey, do you say also the same thing? That you don't, the owner of the field doesn't acquire it, the owner of the courtyard doesn't acquire it, only if he can run and grab it? If he can't catch up with it, and it hops along, or it walks, it limps along, and by the time I reach it, it'll already have left my property, then he cannot acquire it? The Kiblim Nevi Rav Rav Kana, and Rav Abba accepted. Kiblim Rav Abba, what kind of Rav Abba? Son of Rav Kana. Agreed. He agreed that it's different. And in that case, your property does acquire it to you, even if you can't reach it. My time, why the distinction between a gift and a metziah? Surely the difference is because here a gift is someone else who's giving it to you. Someone else giving it to you doesn't matter. You could reach it. You can't reach it. But in the case of an ownerless object, if you can't reach it, being in your field doesn't mean anything. So too over here. When do we say that you have to be standing next to it? It's only if it's an ownerless object. But if it's not an ownerless object, you don't need that requirement. Even if the owner is not standing next to it, since someone else is selling it to you or giving it to you, then even if you're not standing next to it, it's a good acquisition.
We could easily explain.
How they get? I'll bring you a proof it's not so. The bill of divorce. That's a cheres maknais. That is someone who's giving the get to the woman. And nevertheless, Amar Ula says, we learn in Gittin, it says that if the husband throws the get to his wife, and she's at home, and she's in a courtyard, and he throws the get to the courtyard, he doesn't give it to her in her hand. He throws it to her while she's standing in the courtyard, and while she's standing in the house, he throws it into the window, he throws it through the window, or he throws it into the courtyard. So it's a good get. So Ula said, she has to be standing there next to her house and next to her court. So we see that even though someone else is giving it to her, the husband is giving it to her, nevertheless, it's only effective when do we say that a courtyard and a house acquires it for her? Only if she's standing next to it. So this negates the distinction that Rapop is trying to make. It doesn't matter if someone else is involved. Even if someone else is involved there, you should say your field only acquires it if you're standing next to it. So you might answer, shiny get. Get is different. She doesn't want a get. The husband can give her a get whether she likes it or not. She doesn't want to be divorced. So you can't force it upon her. So if she's standing next to the field, or next to the house, then it's as if you put it into her hand. But the courtyard is like her agent. You can't, if she's standing next to the courtyard, then the courtyard is like her hand. Doesn't matter, you want to, you don't want to. Torah says he puts it in her hand, against the will. So if she's standing next to her field, next to her field and the house become an extension of her. So it's like I'm putting it in your hand, you want to or not, it doesn't matter. But if she's not present, then her house and her courtyard acts as an agent. Well, I don't want this agency. You can't represent me against my will. I don't want this. It's not good for me. In a case of a lost object, even if the owner doesn't know about it, but he's happy. Thank God, $1 million landed in my house. I'm very happy. I want it to be my agent, and I acquire it. So you can't prove get. It doesn't matter. Since it's against the will, if he's not present, it doesn't work. Versus something good, even if she's not present, if someone else gives it to her, gift, or gives it to him and gives it to you, sells it to you, gives it to you, then it doesn't matter if you're present or not. Your field acquires it for you. It's only if there's ownerless. There's no other mind here involved. It's just you, ownerless, and you have to be present. If you're not present, your field doesn't acquire. But isn't it a priori? It's on the contrary. Logically, the argument should be a maget is a bakar. Get, which goes against the will, even if it goes against the will. So you don't even need her acquiescence. And nevertheless, we say, if she's standing next to her house, next to her courtyard, then she acquires the get. And if not, matana de midaite, matana, that you can't give a gift against my will. If I don't want the gift, it's only if it's willingly. So like Hoskin, if it's willingly, how much more so that I should need, I have to stand in my field. In other words, a get, you don't really need a kinyan. Do I need a kinyan? I'm not asking you. You don't have to acquire it. I'm just giving it to you. You like it or not. So therefore, it should be good even if you're not standing next to your field. I put it in your house. I put it in your courtyard. And we say, nevertheless, no. Unless he's standing in your field, I didn't do anything. So how much more so? Well, you need a real kinyan. Because a gift has to be willingly. I have to want it and I have to accept it and I have to acquire it. So how much more so? I can only acquire it if I'm standing next to the house, or I'm standing next to the courtyard. Elam Ravashi, Ravashi says, we continue in 12a, Chot, this Rabboi Mishum Yad. A courtyard is because it's like a hand, it's an extension of her hand. Well, he got a Mishlich. But it's not worse than a shliach. If I can appoint an agent, surely I can appoint my courtyard. In other words, a courtyard at my house could act either as my hand, an extension of my hand, and also it could act as my agent. So therefore, gabi get the chayvula get. It can't act as my agent because it goes against my interest. I don't want to get. You can't be an agent unless I appoint you as my agent. I want you. You're representing me. I don't want this get. So you can't be my agent. So get the chayvula in chavulad nolufandav. You have to do it in front of her. You can put it in her hand. You can't. So if she's there, then the courtyard becomes like an extension of her hand. Gabe matana by gift is chusula. It's a merit. Thank God. Wow, a lost object landed in my lap. Then there could be an agent, even if I'm not present, even if I'm not there. You're giving me a gift. And had I known, I would willingly accept it. So you can be, therefore, my courtyard in my house could act as my agent. And since there's another mind there, there's someone giving it to me, and someone selling it to me, giving it to me, even if I'm not present, my house and my courtyard acquires it to me. We'll stop over here. Everyone have a wonderful day. Good Chodesh.